Planting Seeds for Business Growth and Success by Sherry Ruskus. A note from the author, which is me. There seems to be no better time than the annual awakening of spring to talk about the possibility that springtime brings. It is my desire that the ideas shared in this little book will take your business into the next level of success. If you are a gardener, you have the ability to be an entrepreneur. And if you are an entrepreneur, you need to encompass the mindset of a gardener as you cultivate the elements of what will allow your business to grow. This book will cover the five elements of growth that crosses over from the botanical world and into the business world. Take a deep breath and start to fully notice the world that is emerging around you. This includes what works and what doesn't. The challenge is to see how you can put seeds into all that you do as you enjoy the gifts the growth process itself brings to your life. This book is designed to read and work through quickly so that you can get out there and start planning to your successes and victories. Chapter 1. Imagine and Visualize. Let's start off by asking these questions. Have you ever seen an entire field of wildflowers, or even a small bunch by the roadside? Were you amazed at how beautiful they were together and also separately? Did you notice that a dry clump of dirt could indeed bring on the life of something as beautiful as a simple flower? Notice the yellow tip of the wildflower on this page. It is actually the seed of the next flowers to come. They could land right next to this one or hundreds of miles away. If you study the power of seeds, you will find that they have an amazing ability to stretch near and far across this world. Have you walked through your own garden or the garden of another, enjoying the simplicity and the complexity that a garden can bring? Imagine is one word that I love to have rolling around in my head. It conjures up thoughts and ideas of something that was not there before. It's the foundation for potential fruits that will be born from our labors. How many times does our imagination take us places we want to go, way before we get there? Sometimes we only get there in our imagination. Sometimes we get there in reality, and it's not what we wanted at all. And sometimes what we imagine turns out to be even better than what our imagination had initially given us. I feel that way in my garden as I watch the seeds that I planted begin to come to life, producing beautiful flowers, delicious lettuce, fragrant herbs, and nutritious vegetables. Sometimes a disappointment will come, like the years when the late frost will give a heavy blow to the delicate return of some perennial plants. And sometimes the annuals, those that only come once, leave behind their seeds, giving a surprise of their own. You already know that life events don't always happen as expected, and plants don't blossom and grow as expected. The truth is that if we don't let our imagination open up and let in the possibilities of change happen, we can suffer needlessly. The simple step of imagineering, as the Disney people call it, can be overlooked in creating the work life of our dreams. Sometimes we can get so wrapped up in the daily, quote-unquote, to-dos, that we forget to take out time to imagine and visualize that which only our mind can begin to unfold. Take out a blank piece of paper or create a new blank document on your computer. Just like the blank soil of a garden bed, through imagination, we can create a variety of amazing things that will make our business one of a kind. It can range from the name of our business, to its particular concepts, to a specialized system or methodology. The process begins with something as simple as an idea. The idea may be totally new or a new twist to something that has been around for generations. The initial idea is actually the seed that you will move through the next stages of the growth process. Following imagination, you will discover your passion and possibilities, create a strategy, and then move towards support and patience. This will allow you to gain a closer and closer connection to the eventual harvest. Sometimes the idea, the seed, may make itself evasive, leaving you with nothing to plant and move forward towards. That's when you need to start your idea germination process. Answer these questions. What are the things that you can and want to create? What can you easily make happen or simply enjoy doing? What in the power of your imagination can take you there? What can keep you engaged there? Who will be there to help you along your way? What would this single idea bring to the world? As you gather up the heartbeat, spirit, and soul of an idea seed, turn it into a visual that not only you can see, but that you can start to share with others. Now get ready to unleash your passions and your possibilities. Chapter 2, Passions and Possibilities. A Monday spring, summer, and fall morning can find my gardening muscles extremely sore, especially at one end of the gardening season or the other. If anyone ever tells you that gardening is not exercise, you will know them not to truly be a gardener. Although the pain occurs, I know that this too shall pass. The aching muscles will give way to the plants that begin to emerge in the garden. In other words, my passion outweighs the upfront work that comes into play. With seeds in hand, the canvas ready, possibility thinking helps you figure out where to start planting. Emily Dickinson said, "I dwell in possibilities." There are many occasions in our life that ask us to adapt. One great example is making sure a client is happy with the work that we've done for them. Sometimes it can be extremely difficult to adapt, and we find ourselves having to ask why. Why do we keep riding in the same direction when, in fact, we want to get off the prairie and head for the hills? This could come in the form of a business or career change because we're no longer feeling fulfilled in the work that we're performing. This includes finding the need to move to a new location because what we have become accustomed to just doesn't feel like home anymore. Changing a relationship because it doesn't make us happy, or maybe even cracking down on your kids' behavior that you've been putting up with for a while. The list can be long and wide. Knowing yourself well enough allows you to adapt and stay still when the planning of your life has been changed. Usually, this is where your instinct comes in and gives you a good 1-2 punch in your gut to get your attention. Where is your journey really taking you? Will you arrive soon or too far in the future? Are you already there? Stopping for a long drink of water and really viewing the scenery around you will always give you a good perspective. Now that you've identified your passion, let's create your strategy. Chapter 3, Create Your Strategy. History has proved that the movements of the moon have a definite effect on gardening. On the Front Range here in the outskirts of Boulder, Colorado, we have the opportunity to view a glorious scene of what some call a moonset over our beautiful Rocky Mountains. These quote-unquote events, as I like to think of them, happened during the early morning hours. One morning, heading to the kitchen, eyes half open, fumbling to make the morning pot of coffee, I stopped in my tracks. What I saw out of my kitchen window was the incredible beauty of the moon getting ready to set over the Rockies. The pinks and blues of the sky contrasting with the white of the moon and the snow-capped peaks was just something that I wanted to hold on to and never let go. It's a funny feeling, not wanting the day to progress past those beautiful moments, but knowing that it would anyway. Thomas Merton said that happiness is not a matter of intensity, but of balance and order and rhythm and harmony. To have a moment last forever would constitute holding on to time, something we cannot do. I knew in a matter of minutes that the full moon would quickly be setting behind the mountains, and there was absolutely nothing I could do about it. When these beautiful moments happen for me, it usually brings a strong message as well. It's a reminder to not wait to hit a wall or two along the way, worrying about deadlines or some other time-crunching issue. Time is a funny thing. We use the phrase time management when indeed we can't really manage time. For the most part, it can end up managing us unless we find balance in our life. Balance between work and play. What we do and don't want to do with the time that we're given is critical. How many times in the past week have you heard yourself or someone else say those words that can come so easily to our lips? I'd love to, but I don't have enough time. It's important to take the time to reflect on how you're spending your time and the role it currently is playing in all that you do. Stop and smell the roses as you look around to see what is most important to you. In the process, you can begin to realize and feel the excitement that starts to develop as you look to find the flow and rhythm needed to bring the task at hand to success. Take a deep breath and look at what currently creates your rhythm and harmony while in the process of having fun. All work and no play can make us dull and not so happy. When our work is our play, life is all the better. Balance of the precious time we have to live and grow in our lives and business really is about creating the strategy that works best for each of us. Sometimes my kids will say, "Mom, you work too much." Over the years, I've tried to remind them that what they may view as work in my business and my garden, it is actually my play. I do these quote-unquote tasks with pleasure. Sure, there are some aspects to my business that I don't necessarily love, so I must strategically delegate that work. These things are delegated to someone who, in the long run, actually does it better than me, like my bookkeeper or my assistant. Sometimes, for the good of the cause, we must grin and bear the rougher tasks, remembering that once we bring our imagination to life, someone else can take the ball and run with it. We find that once we get past what we thought we wouldn't like doing, in fact, we do. Emotions like fear and overwhelm simply may have gotten in our way. Planning once the garden is in place is continuous, allowing for watering, composting, mulching, weeding, and taking care of all the little incidentals and details is what will lead you to success. You have to keep planning. Sharing your insights, hopes, and dreams keeps you on track. Having someone to give you input and perspective along the way encourages and enriches the experience. A big item on the recommendation list is keeping a written record of where you're going and where you have been. This includes your business plan. Many people think of it only for financing. However, more importantly, you need it for yourself to prove that you indeed have thought everything through to the finest detail. Your plan becomes a working document, a track record of where you've been and where you're going. A place to hold your well-thought-out ideas and the systems that will implement them. Planning is imperative, and using an ongoing written plan of action will take you towards huge strides in your success. In the Victory Circles, we have adopted many of the aspects of the Mastermind Principles of Napoleon Hill. This includes the idea of defining your definite chief aim. For that, we have a definite chief aim plan outline that is shared with you here in the next few pages. Add this plan outline to the important financial numbers, and you will have your plan of action. As you look towards your strategies, don't forget how you spend the most precious commodity, your time. Look around you carefully as you see what it is that drains you and what invigorates you. How often do you find yourself doing the simple things like laughing? How often do you find your particular brilliance being able to be brought to life? Your passions fully engaged. You will find that your passions will be fully engaged when you begin to plan your work and work your plan. Definite Chief Aim Plan Outline. One of the best ways to quote-unquote get the aspect of how to create your definite chief aim, a primary tool in the mastermind process, is to fully understand where you are going with your business. Think of this as a tool to create a basic point of understanding about what makes you and your business tick. This will assist you in clarifying your focus as you write and develop a successful plan for your business. Yes, a good old-fashioned business plan is still the best way to fully understand where you're going and, most importantly, how and why. I can remember many plans being built for the sole purpose of funding, only to be shown to the bankers and then left in my drawer to be forgotten. This outline is a map of what your business can look like. Take time out of your day to create this information. The ultimate place to do this is somewhere that most inspires you. This can be your home, office, the park, your favorite coffee shop, or wherever. You decide. Do this worksheet as a brain dump as you write down the ideas, dreams, and visions that you have for your business today, 6 months from now, and even 2 years from now. Don't focus on the perfection of each word. Just be sure to write down what is true for you. Once the plan is written, go back and fine-tune it. So let's begin. What's the name of your business? Why did you pick that name? If you've been in business for a while, does that name still work for your business? Who are the current principal players of your business right now, and what roles do they play? What skills and strengths do you personally bring to your business? Who are the specific customers that you wish to work with? Why is your business one that clients would come to not only the first time, but return for repeat business? List at least 4 reasons. What are the top 5 goals that you want to achieve in your business? Give each goal a date of completion. From these 5, which one is your top, most deep, burning goal that you want to achieve? How will you attract new customers to your business? What does your marketing and sales process look like? How long from first contact to revenue will be through the door, also known as your sales cycle? How will you retain customers? Also known as a CRM, customer retention management system, what is the system that you will put in place? Who is your competition? One of the biggest reasons that businesses fail is owner burnout. What will you do to keep from reaching burnout with your business? What will keep your passion for this business alive? How will you support yourself to keep your ideas and business strong? In addition to the day-to-day functioning, the product or service your business provides, how will you support the important areas of your business, including accounting, marketing, sales, administrative support, online support, such as website, blogging, and social media, which also falls under the arm of marketing, and then your family and personal support? And just on a side note, when you keep in mind your personal obligations and responsibilities, it helps you to get that, you know, the ever needed balance in your business. So really paying attention to how much time that's actually going to take from your life and from your business. Okay, back to the book. With all this said and done, create and insert your mission statement into the top of your answered question. This document you've created is now your definite chief aim. Have your definite chief aim become your mantra as you begin and end each business day. Put it somewhere where you can see it. Your definite chief aim should inspire you as it inspires others about the fundamental importance that your business brings to the world. This document that you've created is the essence of your business plan. If you've answered all of the questions in this chapter, congratulations. You're so much closer to going where you dream. If you haven't answered the questions in this chapter, what's stopping you? Growth only begins when you dig your shovel into the ground and begin to plant the seeds. Chapter 4, Nurture and Support. Rachel Carson said that those who contemplate the beauty of the earth find reserves of strength that will endure as long as life lasts. The word adaptation is used in the garden on a fairly frequent basis. Many creatures move around the garden, going about their own business. In the garden, you'll find everything from a robin energetically building its nest to a black widow wandering around its domain. Being a bit squeamish to bugs, I have learned to adapt over the years, knowing how important their role is in the garden. The sight of a worm unearthed in the dirt now brings a big smile to my face, knowing that I have a friend who is helping to give my garden the nutrition it needs naturally. Some people in the gardening world love the exact science of it, testing pH balances of their soil as they work towards a perfect blend naturally and sometimes, unfortunately, unnaturally through added chemicals. I am an organic gardener using my instincts to give the garden what it naturally needs. Using organic compost gathered from local farmers gives my garden the extra nutrient it needs. This extra nurturing helps in longer-lasting flowers, as well as water retention and vegetable productivity. Of course, this is leading up to the analogy of nurturing and support in your business. Sometimes we tend to think that we are a one-person show and can wear all the hats needed to run a business. While it can be done, it can lead to burnout, as we talked about in the previous chapter. Also, it can lead us to smaller profitability overall, which is another huge reason for burnout. It's important to remember that if your business isn't growing in one way or another, it could be dying in one way or another. How often do you walk through a thriving garden that looks exactly the same every single day? Never. Change is constant. And success only occurs when you can embrace and change and adapt with it. What if you had a team around you all the time that could assist you not only to be accountable in the growing of your business, but gave you tools on a regular basis to do so? That is what a mastermind team can do for you. At the Victory Circles, we incorporate the following principles, first outlined by Napoleon Hill, to bring us the support that allows us to further grow our businesses. The mastermind principles used in the Victory Circles are as follows. Number one is to gain an understanding of the mastermind principles while continuously defining and redefining the definite chief aim. Number two is to increase the law of attraction through self-confidence. Number three, to implement the habit of self-control to save both time and revenue. Number four, to enhance the instinct found in intuition, gut reactions, and leadership. Number five, open up oneself to all that is available in the imagination. This allows the building of enthusiasm in everything. Number six, take the time to really understand the essence of oneself to allow a unique, pleasing personality and style to come shining through. Number seven, to acquire the ability for accurate thinking and concentration. Number eight, to create cooperation as a team. As each member succeeds, the team succeeds. Number nine, use failures as stepping stones. This will allow you to set boundaries of what no longer tolerate from oneself as well as others. And number 10, practice the golden rule of human conduct based on care and kindness. This allows the subsequent possibilities of giving more than you receive. Napoleon Hill summarized the lasting effects of the mastermind in this way. And I quote, "When two or more people harmonize their minds and produce the effects known as a mastermind, each person in the group becomes vested with the power to contact and gather knowledge through the subconscious mind of other members of the group. The process of mind blending, here described as the mastermind, may be likened to the act of one who connects many electric batteries to a single transmission wire, thereby stepping up the power flowing over that line. Each battery added increases the power passing over the line by the amount of energy the battery carries. It is the same with blending individual minds into a mastermind." Unquote. Chapter 5, Prepare for the Harvest. Dr. Stephen Covey said in his highly acclaimed book, The 7 Habits of Highly Successful People, "Start with the end in mind." While creating a beautiful, well-maintained garden as you go, you should also be planning for a bountiful harvest. With that in mind, in regards to your business, one of the aspects of starting a business is in selling it. This is a lesson I learned the hard way in my business ventures over the years. Michael Gerber outlines the importance of this in his business classic, a must-read for any entrepreneur, The E-Myth Revisited. The E-Myth, standing for entrepreneurial myth, takes you on a journey with a woman, Sarah, who owns a pie shop. It shares how her love for baking pies gets sidetracked by all the work of having to run a business. She's guided through the value of creating systems to help her get the passion for selling pies back again. Sometimes we grow so in love with what we do that we don't want it to ever end. Preparation of an exit strategy keeps us from having the eternal garden. The change of season will come our way, and if we're not prepared, disaster can happen and we can lose everything. In fact, One of the things I love about gardening in a freezing winter climate is that it gives me a 5 to 6 month break each year to do other things. While most years I'm not ready to say goodbye to the garden, I do, finding myself suddenly having time for many other things in my life. It allows me to tuck in the garden for the winter and feel good about moving on to something new. Managing the growth of your business right at the beginning can make such a huge difference. A few years ago, I planted a small little tarragon plant in my herb garden. This plant would easily take over the entire bed each season if I did not get it under control immediately at the start of the season. The tarragon is the first plant to return and show signs of life, so I must have plans for it. This includes recipes that use the herb as well as gifts for my family and friends. The tarragon must have somewhere to go. Otherwise, it will be wasted and the growth will be pointless. What is the long-term plan and goal for your business? Have you planned for how you will exit your business when the day comes when you will be ready to do the final harvest for all your hard work? Can your business exist without you? Could others run your business on a day-to-day basis while you go off and do other things? Answering yes to any of these questions is the sign of long-term success within your business. So here's a few more questions to ask yourself. What are your 30 and 90-day goals? What do you want to achieve in the next 6 months? How long do you want to stay in this particular business? Perhaps the most important aspect in our lives is finding peace in what it is that we spend our days doing. We all come across people who find themselves spending their days doing things that don't bring them peace. When you see someone who is unhappy or burnt out, the majority of the time, it is someone who has lost their way, someone who has lost their passion. The hope is that you are not finding that person when you look at your reflection in the mirror. It is with hope from everyone at the Victory Circles that you find your seeds, plant them correctly, and harvest them well. May you also find a mastermind of like-minded individuals who will help you see what we sometimes cannot see alone. In closing, may these words of Buddha inspire you, along with the final picture from my garden. The thought manifests as the word. The word manifests as the deed. The deed develops into habit, and habit hardens into character. So watch the thought and its ways with care, and let it spring from love, born out of concern for all beings, as the shadow follows the body. As we think, so we become.